Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as 3 suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
Welcome to the Range Podcast. I'm Ricky Brule, and with me is Jake Hollywood Iverson. Join us at the Archery Range, where we'll tell stories from the hunt, discuss technical bow shooting tactics and gear, and pick the brains of some of the most successful people to ever shoot a bow. Whether you're about to shoot that X for the win or send an arrow at a trophy buck, this podcast is for you. The Range Podcast is brought to you by Vapor Trail Archery, makers of the best bowstrings money can buy, originators of limb-driven arrow rest technology, and innovators of stokerized stabilizer systems. Welcome to The Range, everybody. I'm your host, Ricky Brule, and this is our segment of Shiny Objects. I'm sitting here today with Brian Krebs from the Western Rookie Podcast, and if you didn't get a chance, head back to the previous episode. We have a great chat. He talks about a hunt that he had this past weekend and a few snafus involved in it, which is a little unfortunate, but it's a great story. And Brian's a great storyteller, so make sure you head back and listen to that. For those of you who have not listened to a Shiny Objects episode before, this is where we ask our guest about what is the current shiny object in their life. It doesn't have to be an object. It can be an upcoming hunt. It can be a piece of gear. It can be a book, a favorite song. It's your shiny object. So, Brian, what is your current shiny object, man?
Yeah, well, this is a tough one because I have a lot of them. If you ask my wife, this could be a whole podcast series. But one thing I'm really, really excited about is we've got a Western hunt coming up. And this one's special to me because my wife just finished residency last year. Mm-hmm. She's a pediatric pharmacist. So she's been working on her career for 9 years, I think, mm-hmm. in like school and training and to finally be done. And so this is her first Western hunt. It's just 2 of us. She picked rifle antelope. So we're going out to Wyoming. We're going to chase speed goats for a few days. We got a really nice unit. I've been building points across the West. The West is really one of my passions, and so I've got like 107 points across different states and species, oh, wow. and I was building her some points too. So we were able to get a pretty good unit for her first hunt.
Nice.
And so it's going to be a fun time. I think we're going to have a lot of success. We got 10 days for it, which is like really, really long for an antelope hunt.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the plan is if we take out early enough, we're going to hit up South Dakota and do some tourist stuff in the Black Hills.
Nice.
Hiking, maybe spend a day or two there. And if we have time after that, we're going to swing through North Dakota, some of my old stomping grounds, because I also used to live in Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
And we might, and we're going to bring our bows and do some bow hunting.
Right on.
It's a kind of a Midwest, well, a Western tour. That's kind of like the immediate thing we leave next week. But like the big, like lifelong shiny object. Mm-hmm. I want to buy land in Wisconsin.
Oh, nice.
Just to add that second state, I have a passion for land ownership, habitat management. I've been helping on our family farms for 25 years. We talked about it in the previous episode, which if people listen to that, they're going to realize why my show is called The Western Rookie. Because of all the calamities in that story. But but yeah, and then now with the new farm, and so that's like the big one, like, is to, and I don't even care how big. Like, I just, like 20 acres. Give me the right tree in the right spot.
Yep.
And, but just to have that next state and bring more meat home and chance to chase more bucks, that's like the big shiny object for me.
Right on. That's cool. Have you ever noticed, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like as soon as I cross over from Minnesota to Wisconsin, suddenly it's like, where's all the deer in Minnesota? Because they are everywhere in Wisconsin. I see them everywhere.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
I don't know. Wisconsin to me is kind of weird in a lot. Like, their roads don't make sense. Their towns don't make sense. It's like, I don't know. Especially northern Wisconsin just feels like we're farther away from Minnesota than we really are.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, I don't know what it's just like that vibe of, like, something's not right here. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, Wisconsin, you know, we're not going to be in the prime zones. First of all, it's too far away, and we can't afford Buffalo County land.
Yeah.
We want to go basically straight across the same latitude we're at just to get there, like, you know, be able to hunt it and come home type hunt. Like, not a destination deer camp by any means, but more so just to get in. You know, I think the next piece we buy is going to be an investment piece.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to probably hold it forever. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to get into that game. And like, my family's always been big on like being in the game.
Yeah.
My dad's an entrepreneur. He bought stuff and sold stuff. My grandparents were very modest.
Mm-hmm.
One was a school teacher and one was a union tenor. But they saved every penny, and they were like, I didn't realize it because grandpa passed when I was really, really young and grandma was retired and, you know, just baked pies. But they owned property in Florida, and they brought, you know, they would buy entire sides of lakes in central Minnesota and then develop them and sell lots and bought all kinds. And there's just stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
she had gold stashed in grocery bags under the sink when we moved her out of her place into assisted living. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Finding safety deposit. So they just, and they've always been that way. And my dad and my brother are the same way, buying and selling and, you know, and have different things and different levers they can pull. And I'm just excited to get in that game, buy a, you know, 20 or a 40 in Wisconsin, spend 3-4 years shining it up and then putting it on the market, rolling into an 80 or, you know, 1031 it into another property, whatever, you know, just getting started with that and just open up a new state to hunt, I think is going to be really exciting.
Yeah, it's smart all the way around. I mean, giving yourself some opportunities to own some ground, have some fun with it, get to do what you want with it, right?
Yeah.
And then there really is no better investment than property,
real estate. And to get started, I'm racing this internal clock of, like, at least buying the first piece before we start having kids.
Yeah.
Because I know if we don't, then I mean, not that it won't happen. It's just, like, there's a lot more pressing priorities, right, to raising kids and getting them at least into that like school age where you can like take a breath.
Yeah. The focus definitely shifts without a doubt. Like even if you'll still have the dream, but it's hard when, you know, it might only push it back 5 years, but that's a long 5 years.
Oh man, it is. It is a long 5 years, but that's, and I don't want wetland anymore. I'm sick of wetlands. Yeah. All of our farms back home have wetlands. We're in wetlands now, so there's rules, regulations, wet ground. It's hard to food plot wet ground.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for some, like, high, dry land
that
I can really go to town on.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, who knows? I say that, and then the first property we buy will probably be a 40-acre swamp.
Hey, it's still an investment, man.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, it can only go up. I mean, I suppose they can go down, but I don't think so.
I mean, not on a unlikely long horizon, time horizon. I think it's, unless you just make a mistake, but I check out prices. We found a beautiful, beautiful property It was an hour away. It wasn't even that expensive. It was like 55 acres for $260,000. Mm. And yeah. just like absolutely meticulously manicured to whitetail hunting. And oh, pictures really? I tell my wife Booners like all the time. Like I'll throw the Booner word out for anything, but mm-hmm. obviously in this case there was like legit Booner after Booner on camera. Gross Boon. And I'm like, this property's phenomenal. And I'm reading through and I'm looking through and I'm like, at a send my wife and I'm like, we're not even close. Like we could buy it, but it would be like the absolute razor's edge and not a good, not just a wise decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, yeah, that would be the dream. Which I was like, she's not as gung ho about this mm-hmm. idea as I am quite. And I'm just looking at, well, it turns out it's, Jake Polk's property, Polk Whitetail Management. Mm-hmm. I had him on the podcast. We're friends. We text back and forth all the time about different ideas. And so, yeah, it was his property that he's been managing for years. And I've been seeing bucks off that property, since I had him on the podcast, right? Because he's posting them and sending pictures back and mm-hmm. forth. I was like, oh, small world. What are the chances? Well, that's why it looks so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's selling it to roll it into another property. And I was like, dang it. Needed like three more years.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like you were saying, it, you know, you're borderline house broke at that point, right? Like you're a slave, you're a slave to your property where that could be, you know, that could create its own stresses and anxieties, you know?
Yeah. And we're, something goes wrong. We wouldn't even be borderline house broke. We're just like so conservative and putting, you know, a pretty healthy, limit on our own selves mm-hmm. that it's just like, it just wouldn't be the best mm-hmm. decision, even though, you know, now would probably be the time to do it. Well, mm-hmm. we both are working like madmen and don't have kids yet. But yeah, that one was like, oh man, you want to hold that for me for like 3 years, Jake? I want to lock in the price today, but I'll pay you for it 3 years from now.
Yeah, I've got a, you know, so I'm in a little subdivision, right? But there's my neighbor down the block, like right across the street is just a strip of land. And it's probably like, I don't know, it might be 10 acres total. Mm-hmm. It's narrow, but really long and it runs the entire block. And, you know, and he's always just like, yeah, you want to go foraging back there or, you know, get firewood or whatever, knock yourself out, go ahead, take your daughter through there. I'm cool with that stuff. And I was like, what are you gonna do with it? And he's like, it's my retirement plan. So he's just like waiting for the right time and then he'll sell it to a developer so they can come in and then build a bunch of houses on it. And I was like, well, you got to give me right of first refusal, you know, because I'm like, even though you probably could hunt it, but I don't know. You probably have to get a special permit from the city of Ham Lake. I don't know if they even do that, but either way, yeah, I'm like, I would want to buy it just as an investment property, but also at the same time, so people don't build houses across the street from me too. It's nice having that, you know, having just woods out.
Yeah, front, no, but, for sure. No, there's a lot of cool ideas you can do like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Yeah. I mean, my shiny object, it's that North Dakota mule deer hunt. I just keep saying it over and over again. I'm sure everybody's just getting bored of me talking about it, but some cool new developments with it is, and I think I'd mentioned this to you, we're filming it. I've got Damon Wolf coming out. He's going to film it. I've got Paul Vincent's going to come out. He's a photographer. He does a lot of stuff for the state of Minnesota. Mm. He kind of reached out and was like looking to branch out into the outdoor industry. And he was like, hey, do you have any projects coming up? And I was like, actually I have this hunt coming up, and it's all just kind of come into this whole thing. We didn't originally plan on doing it that way. It was just going to me going out there to hunt myself. And now I've got a videographer and a photographer that's going to follow me. I'm going to be hunting with my good buddy, Nate Axman, that I've been trying to hunt with for the better part of a decade. And we've got, G5 Outdoors Prime is on board. We've got, Dialed is on board. We've got a spice company, Kairos. So we're going to do some, you know, like after the hunt,
cooking,
grilling up and stuff like that,
forest to table
stuff. And so that's pretty exciting. Of course, Vapor Trail and Stoker Rise is going to be involved as well. But, so that's pretty exciting. You know, just to kind of see how it's going to go. And Damon does some really crazy cuts and he's really good at editing. He's got a great eye. He does a lot of, he's currently doing work for Crispy and, he's done some stuff for Dudley in the past. And
is he local too?
Yep.
Oh, it's nice.
From Elk River.
I was going to ask if you've ever worked with Sam Moore Media, because he's like right here too.
Yeah, it's funny because Damon actually interned with them
before
he started his
Sam
own
was with
thing,
us in Nebraska 2 weeks ago.
Oh, and was he
I
really?
Helped him do some food plots when we got back up in Brainerd with my tractor. So.
Right on. That's cool.
Yeah, it's just a small community mm-hmm. here. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But no, that's sweet. Have you hunted North Dakota mule deer before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I got a couple of mule deer out there I can show you that I've taken in the past. But yeah, it's wild because there was a time where I hunted there 7 years straight over the counter.
Yeah.
And now it takes 3 years. So,
well, it's random, right?
No, it's a point system.
For
the any deer tag.
You're right. It's a point system for a mule deer.
Yeah.
But with their squared bonus point system, like some people draw 2 years in a row and other people.
Yeah.
I tried to draw for a rifled mule deer out there this year. So talk about shiny objects.
Yeah.
I drew the North Dakota elk tag.
I saw that.
On the first year I applied.
That's crazy.
When
I
lived in Fargo. I missed awesome. I missed the first app that I was legal for because I thought it was the same time as the deer in like June.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, ah, shoot. It's like, because I was like, this is going to take 30 years to draw. I want to start early. And then the next year I did it and drew. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, same, probably those same units where you're going to be chasing muleys. We saw some monsters.
Yeah, there's some big mule deer out there, and
like 170s.
I've seen a couple elk, and so I've actually the first shed I ever found out there was an elk shed, which I had eventually turned into a couple of scales on a blade that I had a buddy of mine make up in northern Wisconsin.
Wait, scales on a
so it's part of the handle.
Oh,
it's part of the handle of the knife.
Yeah,
He's a bladesmith up there. And he made me a really sweet knife. And I actually took a blacksmithing class with him up in Grand Marais.
Oh, wow.
And that's where I met him. And then, you know, kind of going back and forth and stuff, I was like, man, I really want you to make me a blade. And so I had that elk antler that was just like sitting around. And I had kind of cut it up because I did some things with it. I won't get too deep into that, but I just had these little chunks of it sitting around. Yeah. And so I was like, hey dude, can you put this into the handle? He's like, yeah, absolutely. So just made me a beautiful knife. It's awesome.
That'd be cool.
So, but yeah, that is pretty exciting. I've been shooting a ton, but I'm going to be, it might come down to the wire, but I think the new prime bow is coming. I'll be getting the new, dialed, proof sight will be coming. Mm-hmm. I'll have a prototype limb driver arrow rest on that bow. So pretty much the whole setup is going to be all brand new prototype stuff.
Oh, wow.
So when that film comes out, everything on that bow will be, it'll come out right about the time all these products are being launched. So.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, yeah. That's a fun hunt. I've always wanted to do North Dakota archery mule deer, but man, when I was out there, I got so distracted with whitetails and elk, and it's just too busy. I never really did a true hunt. Anytime I'd just throw my bow in while I was chasing something else.
Yep.
And that doesn't work.
Yep.
Like, you got to focus on one thing at a time.
Yep. That's a lesson I learned from Chuck Adams, actually. He always said that. He was like, you know, it's one thing to have two different tags in your pocket, but focus on one animal.
Yeah.
Just if it so happens that you can stray off and go after another one, you know,
it's
like, I'm not going to tell you not to do that, but yeah, definitely that's a good way to do it. And, and going back to your North Dakota elk, and you had success too. You shot a,
I shot a big one.
Really nice bull.
I found a bigger one. I found one that was pushing 400.
Oh my
gosh. And I had Ryan Carter from DC Outfitters score it for me.
Uh-huh.
Who's to my knowledge, one of the best guides in the game for tracking 400 inch bulls. I mean, just I was listening to everything, and I sent him a video on Instagram that I didn't even think he'd reply, and he sent me a voice memo. He's like, man, that's a big bull. Like, every time I see him, every time I watch the video, he gets bigger. Like, he's at least high 380s, maybe high 390s. Like, he might be there, you never know. And I scouted 16 days. I spent 9 days trying to find him again once season opened, and I couldn't do it. Had a cold front come through at September 8th that I was just like, hey, I can't waste a cold front chasing a ghost. So I moved spots. I actually moved in the same direction that bull ended up getting killed in.
Oh, really?
But yeah, then I ended up shooting the bull, finding the bull I found and shooting him, and it was a 354-inch 6x6, first elk I've ever killed.
Oh my gosh.
My brother gives me crap that we've both got really cool metrics. He's shot a 300 with a rifle, but now he's shot 5 with a bow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he's like, well, I've shot 5 elk with a bow. And I'm like, well, I'm batting a 315 average. So both with rifles, but I only shoot the big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there you go. That's cool. Yeah. I can't wait to get out and hunt elk again. I mean, the only thing that really is just keeping me from doing it is just funds. You know what I mean? Like, just trying to. I got to get into a better position where I'm able to start putting money in different buckets.
Yeah.
And start doing all that.
Once you get the gear, it helps a long ways. An elk hunt, if you've got all the gear and you can fill a pickup full of people and split gas in camp, I think you can pretty much do it for 100 to 150 bucks a month.
Yeah.
You can squirrel that away, that's what I tell people. Mm-hmm. I think I've done one for $1,000 one time. Colorado had a little bit cheaper tag. I camped. I didn't pay anything for lodging, so it was basically just gas, and I was solo, so I didn't even split the gas.
Yeah.
It's if that's the DIY public land. I mean, if you're doing any type of private land or guided or stuff, it just goes up from there. But we've done a lot of them for under $1,500.
That that Idaho one, I went out there with my buddy, and that one was right around $1,000.
Yeah.
All in. So, yeah. So again, not too terrible, but I just got to, I've got the money going away, but so much of it is,
you got
the kids now.
Different hunts. There's too many fun things to do. There's too many shiny objects.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of this episode. Brian, thanks for stopping by. Thanks so much for your time again. I really appreciate it. Where can people find you if they want to look you up?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I definitely will be doing this again now that we know how close we live. But folks, pretty easy to find, or at least I hope so. Western Rookie. Search Western Rookie on any platform, you'll find it. If you're more curious about the outdoor entrepreneurship side, we got a show called the Two Bucks Podcast that's really out there to help inspire and support anyone that has a dream for launching a business, product, service, content channel in the outdoor space. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, folks, you can find us at The Range Podcast on Instagram and on Facebook. Also, be sure to head over to the Vapor Trail and Stoker Eyes social channels and give us a follow there. Don't forget about the video version episode on the Vapor Trail YouTube channel. Be sure to give us a like, subscribe, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery. If you're listening, do me a favor, give us a review and a rating, and of course, always give us 5 stars. And with that, we're going to pack up our bows and arrows, and we're hitting the range.
Awesome.
Have a great day, everybody.
Vapor Trail is now offering an exclusive discount to the Range Podcast listeners. Enter promo code TRP15, that's TRP15, at checkout for 15% off VTX bowstrings and Vapor Trail and Stoker Eyes branded t-shirts, hats, and other gear.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.